My father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also be where I am.
You'll make your paper change in a bit, but I wonder, every year at Christmas, is there a present you always get? When I was growing up in Scotland, we got the Bruins or Oor Willie. Every other year, the Bruins is out this year, it's in Waterstones. If you grew up in Cumbria, you might have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. And you might even pick the thing up and read it and think, I've got no idea what they're talking about either. So, but if you want a bit of Scottish culture, pick up the Bruins or Oor Willie. But it was a thing we were guaranteed to get every year when I was growing up as a child. Some people remember you might get an orange in your stocking. Well, these days it's more likely to be a chocolate orange. That's what we have for breakfast on Christmas morning, chocolate orange. Perhaps you get an annual, a book that comes out once a year with your favourite topics in it. But one of the most popular books in annuals is the Guinness Book of World Records, full of amazing and strange world records that people attempt. And there's records for everything. And some of them I won't tell you. But I thought we might have a quiz. Would we like a little quiz from the Guinness Book of World Records? Excellent. What do you think the world record is for most blueberries stuffed in a mouth? I'm not saying you need to do this at home, okay? For the sake of health and safety. Be in the company of responsible adults. What do you reckon? How many blueberries do you think that man could fit in his mouth? 57? 6? Oh, 56. Massive blueberries. Bit higher than that? Bit lower than that? No, we'll be here forever, won't we? 120 was pretty close, though. The answer is 124 by David Rush in Idaho in June 2019. Why is the question you're all thinking? Why not is the answer. Most drinking straws stuffed in your mouth. it's more than you think, I tell you. It's 650. It's one way to get rid of them, isn't it? How about the most people squeezed into a smart car? I think a smart car is roughly about the size of this box, would that be right? Twenty-seven, 25, that's closer. 12 is a bit too low. The answer is 20. Those Americans again. The Glendale cheering team. Yay! The junior Glendale cheering team to get 20 in a smart car. And I've got this box here, and I wondered, we could perhaps even have a go. How many people can we fit into this box? Who's up for it? Sam and Lee again. Hold on a second. Parents, is this okay? Right. Okay. Right, gentle. Hold on one at a time. One at a time. Right. Two. Sam will never get in with that sheep sticking out his head. He's got a hole in the box. How many have we got in? How do we reckon? Three, four. Do you think that's the max? Well, that's it. Oh, stand. Oh, yeah, good idea. I like how you're getting into this audience. This is great. Audience, congregation. That's it. You're all up. Right, Ellen, on you go. That's it, very flexible. Go on, Joseph. Peasant. How are we doing? You all right, Toby? One, two, three, four. How many is that? One, two, three, four, five, six. Excellent. Eight or nine, right out you pop. We need the box. Right, who's coming out for? Yeah. Well. We needed the box. We'll find another one. Ah, oh, dear. Well, you got 9 of yous in there. Well done. What about, that's not, well, I don't think we had the official Guinness dude here to help us out, so we'll need a stronger box next time. What about, that was all the kids. How many do you think? We can't do it now, unfortunately. What if it was me and a bunch of adults? How many of us do you think would fit in? 2 or 3, or depending on the shape of the adult, probably. I can't believe I said that. That's not in the notes. I'm sorry I said that. But we thought about squeezing into places, and you're going to do your little prayer paper chains now. But did you notice the line in the video that we showed? And it said this: the true Christmas story has room for us all. So what's the true Christmas story? And if you want to help Anna, she's going to make the paper. You can listen to me as well. You can help Anna make some paper prayer chains. Or since you're dead clever, you can do both. So what's the true Christmas story? I'm just going to talk about that for a few minutes. I mean, it must have been pretty crowded, the place where Jesus was. You wonder how anyone could fit into that place. So what does it mean that there's room for us all? Well, to find out, we're going to fast forward about 30 years from the birth of Jesus to Jesus the man. And that was the passage that Ellen read out for us earlier. When Jesus says to his disciples, "In my Father's house, there's many rooms." Jesus is comforting his disciples here. He's told them something bad's going to happen. He's told them that he's going to be betrayed, and that he's going to be leaving them, and his disciples are sad and worried. But Jesus says in the passage, don't be worried. And through John's writing, Jesus tells us 3 things. He reminds you this Christmas of 3 things. It's dead funny speaking up here, because I can see everybody watching the kids. But I'm going to persevere. So we'll be finished in time for the carol service tonight. Jesus reminds us of 3 things. Christmas doesn't stand alone. I'm coming back for you, and there's plenty of space. Christmas doesn't stand alone. It's connected to everything else. And we think of Christmas, and we think of Jesus coming, and that's right, but we sometimes miss something that's even bigger and better. We're reminded in the Nativity play that God created a perfect world. And in that perfect world, man had a perfect relationship with God. But we were reminded to get messed up, and our relationship with God was damaged. But God wants that relationship mended. And a vital moment in that mending happens at Christmas. When we remember at Christmas that God himself came as part of his plan. The plan that includes the baby that would grow up to be a man. The ever-going realization that this man is an actual fact God. And the greatest act of love there's ever been at Easter. When Jesus' death and resurrection made it possible for us to be perfectly restored with Christ again. So Christmas doesn't stand alone, it's connected. Jesus also says this, so he says, I'm coming back for you. He says, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. When Jesus first spoke the words, he was still here on earth. His disciples probably wouldn't have expected him to come back. But after his resurrection, Jesus did appear to his disciples and other people quite a few times. He even ate with them. But this isn't what Jesus was talking about in this little bit. Jesus is saying, one day I'll come back and I'll create a new heaven and a new earth. One day I'll come back for you, church, because I'm preparing a space for you. I'm getting your room ready. I wonder if you've had the excitement of getting your room freshly decorated by a parent. Getting ready for it for you to move into. And while your room's getting done up, maybe you're kind of sleeping somewhere else. Sharing a room with a brother and sister or another bedroom of the house. Perhaps you're in the room and the work's kind of going on around you. But you see the room take shape, don't you? It's a bit messy now, but it'll be fabulous when it's finished. But Jesus just isn't redecorating a room for you. He's using the image of a house to say there's a place for you. A place of tranquility and peace and beauty and certainty and stability. And he says, you'll be there. He says, I've got it ready for you. And at the right time, I'll come back and get you. But there's so many of us. Even in this little church, there's quite a few. And then you go around the city and you go around the world. It's like, how are we all possibly going to fit in? This is the first world hotel in Malaysia. It's the world's biggest hotel, I hear. It's got 7,351 rooms. That's a lot of rooms. That's a lot of sausage at breakfast. But even the biggest hotel in the world isn't big enough. Jesus isn't talking about a hotel, though. But imagine he was talking about his heavenly hotel. The reviews would be the best. It wouldn't just be 5 stars. It'd be countless stars. The best room service in the galaxy. Top marks on TripAdvisor. Most comments saying this place is out of this world. But Jesus isn't going to take us to an actual hotel or a house. Instead, Jesus is using language we understand to make a point. There's plenty of space. The baby born at Christmas, that became the man who conquered the earth, saying this, if you want in, then there's space for you. He says, the place I want to take you to isn't some exclusive restaurant that only the rich and the influential can go to. I don't make a fake queue outside the exclusive shop to make it look busy. It's just ready, waiting for you. Jesus says there's plenty of space for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors, for your rivals, for your enemies. There's tons of room. All you need to do is believe in me. God says, I've done the hard work, ready for you to move in. And this space has been in God's plan all along. You go a few hundred years, maybe more, before Jesus' birth. In the book of Isaiah, he writes this. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. So as we look to Christmas, we rejoice. Not just because some of us get a few days off. I think the teachers are probably particularly rejoicing at the moment. Not just because you get turkey, or if it's your thing, because you get to eat sprouts. No, we rejoice because we look to a God who knows us at Christmas. Who loves us and whose great plan to mend our broken relationship began when Christ came to the earth. We rejoice in the God who made the way possible by dying for us. We rejoice in the God who prepares a place for us in his Father's house. And we rejoice in the God who will one day come back so we can be with him forever. And the space is open to you all. And that's the reminder. It could be you this morning. You could be thinking of a friend this morning. The space is there for everybody. The paper chain, which is coming together quite well, is a reminder to us all. And it's a reminder of the people we want to join us there as well. Jesus is preparing a room. It doesn't matter if you're 6'4" like me or a toddler like Zach. A box or a hotel won't be big enough for the place Christ has prepared is. It's up to us if we want to join him there. I was going to say we'll pray in silence, but you'll pray with the background of sellotape and rustling paper. But I'd like you just for a minute, 30 seconds, just think about the name you put down on your paper chain and just pray. Pray for them. Pray for Christmas. Pray that they'll know the true story this Christmas. And then I'll pray to finish us off. Wrapped in swaddling clothes. wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying asleep, wrapped in a servant's towel, washing feet, wrapped in linen burial cloth, dead in sin, risen in glory, coming again. We thank you, Lord, that this Christmas we once again remember that you came to earth selflessly and humbly, and we thank you that you came for us. We rejoice in your birth, we reflect on your death, and we rejoice that you are alive. You're with your Father in heaven, that you've prepared a place for us, and one day you'll come back for us. We thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us alone in this earth, but that you are working through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we remember this morning, Lord, that there's plenty of space. We pray for those we love who don't yet know you. And we pray that this Christmas they might take another step towards your open, welcoming, loving arms. We pray these things in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing again.